Thank you, Philip and Caroline. Shall we just pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and this place and this opportunity to gather together as a community, as your family. And we pray that as I speak now, that you will give me your words. We pray that you'll open our ears and that everything which is said and done here this morning will be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you letters. Who loves writing thank you letters? No, oh, really? Who loves trying to make their children write thank you letters? It's not easy, is it? It's not always, it can be a bit of a challenge to sort of motivate them to do the right thing. And whenever you perhaps do manage to do that, they don't always come out quite right. So there's a thank you letter that I found written here. And this is actually a thank you letter to God, so it's a slightly different one. And it says this: Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Joyce. So Joyce didn't quite get what she wanted there. Another thank you letter that's perhaps not quite the right sort of way of going about things. This is from Jack, written to his neighbours, his next door neighbours. Hi, it's Jack from number 23. Thank you for letting me park my car here. Sounds perfectly reasonable. Jack had parked his car on his neighbour's drive. The trouble was he hadn't told them he was going to do that. And then he went away to China for 13 weeks and took his car keys with him. So that thank you letter didn't quite work out in the right way either. I don't think his neighbours were very chuffed about that, really. And then another letter. This isn't quite a thank you letter, but I couldn't quite resist putting it in here because it made me chuckle. Some of you may have seen this in the news recently. It was a letter written by Thames Valley Police. Does anybody remember this? It was written that they found cover your ears, children. They found a cannabis growing plantation in a forest in the Thames Valley. And they didn't find anybody there growing it. So they left a note, and this is what the note said. Oops, sorry we missed each other, but feel free to call 101 and we can discuss a deal. Lots of love, Thames Valley Police. It's the real deal. I don't think they're still waiting for the phone call to come. So letters, thank you letters, can be a bit of a challenge. And this letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians is very much focused around this whole idea of writing a letter of thanks, not only to the Philippians, but actually thanks to God. And the amazing thing about this letter that Paul wrote is that when he wrote it, he was locked up in prison. He was actually in captivity when he wrote this letter. And yet still, he is overflowing, effervescent with thanksgiving, with praise to God for what he's seen happening with the Philippians. And I think, you know, really, although I'm not locked up in prison, I don't think going to Reigate Grammar School quite counts as prison. I am standing in a similar way, not quite the same way, a similar way to Paul, as I look back over the last 4 years or so of partnership in this place and with this community and seeing all the different things that we've done together. And I am overflowing with joy and with thanksgiving as I stand back and look at all that God has done in this place. And like Paul, I'm very thankful. Perhaps we can have some slides up. Like Paul, I'm very thankful, not only for all of you and for the wonderful people that you are, and I'll say perhaps a bit more about that down in the orchard and thank specific people a bit later on. Not only thankful for that, if we can scroll on a couple, but I'm also thankful for, well, I'm thankful for the past. As I look back, as Paul did in this letter, I look back, I'm very thankful for the past. And this is really is my prayer. I thank my God every time I remember you. So every time I remember this community and each one of you as individuals, I thank God. But that thanksgiving goes beyond that. That thanksgiving goes to the next slide. What am I thankful for? Well, if we can click on another one. I thank my God every time I remember you, and again, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Because of your partnership. It's such an important word. It's a word that I cherish so, so much. The partnership in this place has been quite remarkable. The teams of people who invest so much of their time and energy to ensure that ministry in this place and reaching out to our communities flourishes is quite incredible. There are not that many churches that have the number of people, I think, involved in the way that we do and in the partnership that we do. So as I look back over the last four or so years, it is with real joy and thanksgiving for this, for the partnership. When I arrived, some of you might remember, I preached a series on partnership, and I used this image here of the one-man band. And some clergy very much feel like that in some churches. They feel like they're the ones, if they're going to make a noise, if they're going to play a tune, they're the ones who've got to do it. They've got to actually do all the work. If it doesn't happen with the rector or the vicar doing it, then it just doesn't happen at all. And one of the things I was preaching about when I first arrived was, that's not the model of ministry that I wanted for this place. That's not the model of partnership that I wanted for this place. It was much more around the rowing eight. Everybody sitting in the boat and pulling the oars. Everybody putting their back into the work and doing the business. And that is what has happened over a much longer period than just my 4 years here. But I feel very privileged and very joyful that that has happened over these last 4 years. And I am so incredibly grateful for that. You get to cover a lot more distance when there are eight of you in the boat than when there's just one. The risk, I think, is that when it comes to a sort of season change, and when partnership has happened, when so many people have been working so hard, the following can happen. People can jump out of the boat. And it might be that some of you are feeling a bit tired. I get that completely. And it might be that you're thinking, well, if Phil's jumping out the boat, perhaps I can jump overboard as well and can have a little rest. And that's the temptation, I think, sometimes for a community when a season change and a new chapter comes. People think, well, perhaps it's my opportunity to jump out the boat. Can I encourage you not to jump overboard? Now is not the time to pull back and to have a rest. Now is the time to step forward into even more partnership. So yes, today, my partnership with you as a community draws to a close. And it's a sad thing, of course it is. And as a family, we are really sad about that. But your partnership with one another doesn't. Your partnership with the leadership here doesn't come to a close. Your partnership with God doesn't come to a close. Your partnership with the new rector arriving in a few months' time doesn't come to a close. The time is not now to step back. The time is to step forward. If I can switch my analogy for a moment, thinking about the football pitch. If you feel like you're in the stands watching, now is the time to get on the pitch and kick the ball around. A vacancy is a really good opportunity for a community to step up. And if there are things that you feel that you could be doing in partnership here at church, at St. Mark's, then talk to Alison, talk to John, talk to Jen, talk to others. Now is the time to continue in that partnership. So I am so thankful for the past. I'm so thankful for the partnership that we have shared. It's been really good, but it continues. And so I'm thankful for the past, but I'm also, if we can have the next one, I'm also confident in the future. This is continuing from Philippians. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. So I am confident about the future because Jesus has begun a good work in each one of us here. He has begun a good work in this community over so many years, and his promise is he will see it through to completion. We don't always believe that for ourselves, I think. There's a wonderful passage, I'm getting to give all my favorite Bible passages this morning. One of my favorite passages in Isaiah 43 says, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. You are mine. Wendy, you are mine. Rosemary, you are mine. Helen, you are mine. George, you are mine." I won't go around the whole congregation, you'll be relieved to know, but put that name in that place. You are mine. St. Margaret's, you are mine. We don't always believe that. Over the next slide, I don't know how often you go to a course with work, perhaps, and you have to have a name badge because we forget each other's names, or perhaps you go to a party and you say, hello, I'm so-and-so, what's your name? And you immediately forget that person's name because you're thinking about what the next thing to say to them is. The name drops out of your head. Or perhaps you've been out and about for a walk or in town somewhere and you see somebody who you knew many years ago and you deliberately avoid them in case they can't remember who you are. No? Just me. We sometimes feel that way about God. We feel that perhaps God won't remember who we are. Perhaps God won't remember our name. Perhaps he'll forget about us. We sort of don't feel very significant somehow to God. Some of us have got quite a low opinion of our own faith. We feel that perhaps somehow God doesn't notice us because we don't pray enough, we don't read the Bible enough, we're not holy like that person over there or over there. We feel a bit inadequate in our faith. God knows your name. He remembers your name. And you can be confident in the future because of that. Another thing we sometimes feel about God is that perhaps he checks out early. You know, he sort of works the 9 to 5 and, you know, perhaps then doesn't quite, you know, follow through on things. God, the Psalms tells us, is a God who does not slumber or sleep. He doesn't check out. Look at that board over there above Wendy's head. This church, from what we know, 1304, well, actually the first record didn't have a date. We don't even know when that one was. God has not checked out on this place over those hundreds and hundreds of years. He's not about to start checking out now. This church is his. And so I have every confidence that he who began a good work in you, in this place, will see it through to completion. God is, to use the Belbin terminology, for those of you who know that, a completer finisher. He will finish the work he has started in this place. And so I am so thankful for the past. I have every confidence that the future is good in God. I have confidence in the future. Of course, it's a bit uncertain sometimes, isn't it, the future? One of the things I shared a little while ago was when we were doing the Faith Pictures course, I shared my faith picture of climbing. That sort of image of the rope going up and me climbing and following my climbing partner. And I said, sometimes when your climbing partner gets to the top of the climb, you can see them and they can shout down to you and you can see them and hear them really, really clearly. And they shout down, climb when ready, climbing, okay. And then you start. Sometimes you can't see them and you have to listen really carefully. And you climb when ready, climbing, okay. Sometimes, because the wind and the rain and the storm is blowing such a lot, you can't see them, you can't hear them, all you've got is a tug on the rope. And that's what you have to go on. And I said when I shared this a few months ago, that sometimes I feel that my faith's a bit like that I can't always see God or hear God. Sometimes I can, through other people, through the Bible, through prayer, but I can't always. Sometimes I just have to feel the tug on the rope and then follow the line of the rope. And as a community, the future, of course, is uncertain, and that can be a bit scary, but we know that God has got us on the rope. Just as I know when I'm climbing, even if I can't see or hear my climbing partner, I'm pretty confident that he or she hasn't sort of just taken me off the rope and said, oh, we won't bother with that. It's not really that important, is it? If I fall, I know that I will be held. If we fall, we know that God has got us, and so we can have confidence in the future. So I'm thankful for the past. I'm confident about the future. And my final word to you as a community, as you enter a vacancy, as you enter a new season, is to love in the present. Love in the present. This is such a wonderful prayer, and it really reflects mine and Steph's heart and my thoughts for all of you, my prayers for all of you. And this is my prayer, if I can steal St. Paul's words, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What a prayer. What a prayer. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. What are we for as a church? What's our purpose? What are we here for? It's not a rhetorical question. Anybody? Oh dear, it is a rhetorical question. Have I done nothing? Anyone? Yeah. We are, you're absolutely right. And we've got a special purpose statement, haven't we, that reflects something of that. And what is it? It is to know and share God's transforming love with one another, the local community, and the wider world. Oh, there it is. Look at that. As if by magic. To know and share God's transforming love. It is love. That is what we are for as a church. To share that love with one another more and more. To reach out with that love to the community, to the parish, to the wider world through our mission partners, through other things that we can do. You know, sometimes we talk about what it is to have a good church. What does that mean? When we sometimes fall into the trap of talking about, you know, amazing music and worship, which of course we've got. Incredible leadership, which of course we have. Brilliant sermons. Okay. Well, you know, amazing courses and outreach and hospitality and, you know, brilliant facilities and a wonderful building. And we somehow classify those things as being a good church. Well, if we remember back to 1 Corinthians 13, if we can have the next slide, Paul talks about, if you speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, you're only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I would say if you've got brilliant sermons, amazing facilities, beautiful picturesque church, wonderful banquets, great worship, but have not love, you are a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Thank you. He's good. The most important thing that anyone can ever do is to love. That's the most important word that I can leave with you as I go and as you enter a new season. Love one another. That's kind of it. That's the key. That's what it's all about. If I take you back to that passage from Isaiah that we had read, those who have their hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and they will not faint. Our hope is in the Lord. That's the promise. That's the promise. So when you feel weary, as we all do, when you feel a bit, as we all get, our hope is in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You will soar on wings like eagles. You will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. So as Steph and I look back over these last 4 years, we are thankful, so thankful for the partnership in this place. We really are. Really are. I have absolute confidence, real confidence in the future, in all that God is going to do in this place. I get to watch a bit of that from afar. I can't come and share it with you, but I will hear, I know what God does here in this next season of life together. So I'm so confident in the future. And my call to you is to love one another. And all of that we hold, that our hope is in the Lord. Should we stand to pray? Let's just be still for a moment as we wait on the Lord, as we renew our strength, as we claim that promise that we will soar on wings like eagles, that we will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint. Lord our God, I want to thank you for this, your church, for these, your people. I thank you for the partnership that has been shared over so many years in this place. And I pray that that partnership will grow, will continue, will be a wonderful mark of this place. Lord, I pray that each and every person here will have confidence in their future, both as individuals but also as a church family. Have confidence to know that what you have started, you will finish. And I pray for love. Lord, I pray that the love that's shared in this place will grow and grow and grow. Grow in depth, will grow in breadth. The love for you and the love for one another and the love for the lost of this world will mark out this church more than anything else. And Lord, I pray that our hope, my hope, and the hope of this community will be in you, our Lord and our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.